every time, every week that I come here, you guys will actually take action, because that's the whole point of it. And I think it's really important for everyone to have awareness of what's going on around us and actually do something about it. So this week it's about Darfur, which is a very urgent issue, becoming more urgent and urgent every day. But I feel like a lot of people are turning away from the issue now. So today I would like to talk about pressing some of the most powerful companies in the world to use their influence to help end the human rights catastrophe in Darfur. To ensure the speedy and full deployment of the UN African Union peacekeeping force in Darfur, Khartoum, which is the capital, must hear from key economic interests, including the oil companies that they depend on for revenue. To convince these oil companies to act, we must enlist their investors as our allies. In the past year, Amnesty International has already had success working with several top U.S. investment firms, including Morgan Stanley and T. Rowe Price, who have committed to raising concerns about Darfur with oil companies in which they are invested. But Amnesty International's work is far from over. By adding your voice, we can convince even more investment companies to take a similar stand. Press investors in Sudan's oil company to follow the lead of companies like Morgan Stanley and T. Rowe Price to take a stand for the people of Darfur. For more information, you could visit takeaction@amnestyusa.org. And that was the Amnesty Minute for this week.
And you know what that means?
What does it mean?
It means it's time for the...
announcement?
The announcements! That's right! I was waiting for you to read my lips. That was a little bit of Argentinian music. And this is, of course, some more Argentinian music. Our announcement music is the music from Holger Iller. And I hope I've brought it down enough that you can actually hear us here. All right. This weekend, it's the Festival de Betances.
Yay!
Yay! What is that, you ask? Well, that's the annual Boston Puerto Rican celebration of Betances. And it happens starting today. They do the Noche de Bohemia tonight, starting right about when Sferio goes off the air. And that'll be continuing on until about 9 o'clock tonight. There's going to be Bolero from David Morales. Randy Diaz-Colón will be doing some trova music from Puerto Rico, of course. And then tomorrow and Sunday, all day long, there's performances and games and fun and food and dance. And it's just a huge, huge celebration, everybody. And it happens out at the Via Victoria in the South End. If you're not from that area of Boston, you can get there by T. You take the Orange Line and take it to the Back Bay Station, and then you walk a little bit to the West Newton Street. And it will be an enormous, wild, wonderful party. The performances on Saturday are going to include the Berkeley Latin Jazz All-Stars, Juchipili, the Mexican dance group, Ritmos Academy is going to be doing Latin dance, a Venezuelan band that we don't even know the name of yet is going to be there, Peru Mestizo will be there, Samba Tremiteja from Brazil via Boston. It's just going to be music, 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 and dance, and dance, and dance. And then tomorrow, that is all tomorrow, Sunday, they have the Palo Encebao with the Greased Pole Tournament. Very traditional Puerto Rican event that you have to see to believe. It's have you ever seen this? Because basically they have this pole, right? And it's totally greased with, like, I don't know, lard or something. And people have to climb to the end of it. At the end of it, there's usually like either a dollar bill or a $10 bill or something these days, right? And so it's a competition to see who can get all the way to the end and not fall off. And it's pretty amazing. And so, you know, there's more and more of that happening Sunday. It keeps on going. And the other thing that's happening this weekend is, if there weren't enough partying going on, is Art Beat in Davis Square in Somerville. And more events happening in languages other than Spanish. But there will be hip-hop and dance and art to make and art to look at and songs to dance to. There will be a band that plays Tex-Mex and cumbia called Los Nítidos that will be performing tomorrow at the stage that they have set up at the Seven Hills Park. And there will be an Americana band happily called the David Wax Museum. I love that. That's great. The Knuckle Dusters playing swing and rockabilly. All kinds of crazy things. The theme is green, so there will be lots of green-related things and trees and biking and alternative environmental stuff. All the kinds of things that Sferio enjoys, you know, pretty much. It's an event for Sferioites. And that will be in Davis Square on the Red Line in Somerville. For more information on both of those things, you can go to their respective websites. We have the Villa the Festival Betances information is available at Villa Victoria. You can look that up online. And then Artbeat has their information if you look up the Somerville Arts Council. Y todo eso viene en inglés para ustedes. Ya son las 7. It's already 7:04 p.m. here at WMBR Cambridge, 88.1 FM. And that means that it's time for us to say goodbye. So, already. Yeah, you just got here.
I know. Well, I'll see you guys next week.
Wonderful. I myself am not going to be with you next week. So, Jasmine, you rock it out, okay?
Woohoo! I'm going to have so much fun without Amy.
Take advantage of it. You never know. All right, everybody. Peace, love, and
be safe.
And lots of dar, dar, y dar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hasta la próxima.
Four points for safety. Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
أهلا وسهلا بكم مع Music for Human. الموقع للراديو of New Age, New Age Radio. And today, the Wisdom Festival. I am Dr. Jalas Sakran, and with me today, I have Dua.
Hello, everybody.
And our recurring host, Peace Child Peter.
Hey, everybody.
So, now, Dua has been with us before. Dua, of course, the New Age Mechanisma expert and specialist in New Age cooking. And the mother of 11
yes,
boys and girls, children, and the possessor of many animals. So welcome back.
Thanks a lot.
So today I thought that we might discuss the issue of the wisdom, and we might, as I mentioned earlier, have a sort of wisdom festival. So I wondered, you know, as two very learned and experienced practitioners of New Age life and New Age reasoning, we might discuss your perceptions of wisdom and what that might mean. So, Dua, do you have anything to share on wisdom? I mean, for example, we are both Arab. Is there anything that you can recall about the Arab view on wisdom?
Well, as you know, Dr. Jalas, we always like to learn from each other as an Arab and as people who live isolated in the desert. And we learn from our parents and grandparents a lot. And at night, in the cold desert night, no lights, no electricity, quiet, just looking around in the sky and imagine whether there exist other lives around us. Our parents, our aunts, uncles, they teach us a lot. And they send all what they learn to us through words. Words of wisdom. And that's how we learn generation after generation.
So in this way, from the sharing from previous generation to the following generation, the social grace and quality can grow.
Definitely.
And so one particular example that comes to mind that is particularly strong is the idea of the development, for example, apprenticeship, so that, for example, the sword maker and his son, the sword maker in his life, he spends his life making swords, refining the swords, short swords, long swords, heavy swords with, you know, three-hand swords. And he may, in his time, develop new techniques for sword making that he would pass on to his son. And the son, likewise, creates more swords and passes these things along to his son. But this is also true about social grace, about, and most importantly, it is true about the relationship that a person has with the universe and the place that he finds for himself there, so that a man may find comfort in meditating upon alternative universes, and he passes this knowledge to his boy or to any student of his.
Definitely.
And this way the wisdom grows.
Yeah, definitely.
Are there any particular things that either of you wish to share that you have learned from a parent or a teacher?
For example, from the culture that you talk about, is we learn that we get some words and we have to expand on these words. They teach us some wisdom put in a particular way, either in a poem or in some set of words, and they want us to learn how to use it. And maybe their experience will expand on a different aspect with us. For example, our parents always advise us not to learn from the experience of others. They told us, don't experience on yourself, learn from the experience of others. And that's really a good advice. And while we see around us now, the new generation, they always try to experience on themselves, and they said, this is the way. While we learn wisdom from our parents and advise in a completely different way. And that's how we pass it to our kids.
So one thing that you learned was to always try to learn from the experiences of other people. Yeah, we have, I've encountered a saying that is used in India. It's quite common, which is that, well, I think there is also a similar expression in English. It is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Which is stating what you say, which is, if you know, learn from your own experiences. But then a level of wisdom which is beyond that is to learn from the experiences of other people, the experiences that you see people having, which is an interesting twist on that.
Definitely.
On that idea. PCP, also, I mean, I've been curious that perhaps also the mechanics of tea making, which you are particularly well known for, is this something that you came across on your own, or was it something that you were initiated into?
Well, I found the story of Dua here just sparked a memory in my mind, actually, of when I created my first red tea. Now, let me preface this by saying the actual ingredients have changed much. But the first tea that I made, to answer your question, was when I was very young. I came across a small puddle in the ground, and in it many birds were drinking. And at the time I felt very at one with nature. I was just a young man budding into adolescence, very much exploring who I was and what kind of a person I would become. And that day I felt very at peace, and as I approached the pool, I noticed that it had plants in it. Not plants growing from it, but plants that seemed to have been torn or cut in some way. And the leaves were in this pool. And these birds, they were very... It was obvious that they liked what they were drinking. So I sat down with the birds, and I suppose because I felt so at peace, they did not fly away, and they allowed me to sit with them. They knew I wasn't going to harm them in any way, so I drank the water with the birds.
You drank the bird water?
With the birds.
Hmm.
But I think it was a kind of a tea that I was drinking, because it had plants in it, it had leaves in it, and...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but in many belief systems, the ducks are also considered like plants.
I see. Well, these were not ducks. They were small sparrows and... Yes. And the like. I'm not very good with bird names, but they were small birds. And they seemed to have a sort of a social structure to them there. There was a bird in the center of this group around the pool, and he was a little larger and a little brighter, and he had a little bit more room around him, and it was obvious he was leading. And every now and then he would leave, and he would be gone for many minutes. And then he would return with a new leaf or plant or twig in his mouth, and he would add it to the pool, and only then would all the other birds lean in and drink. And I was very shocked by this. It seemed as though the center bird was leading these birds in a ritual of some sort, and making a tea much in a way, in a similar way as female birds go and get leaves and make nests. And I learned a great admiration for birds in general, but especially for this bird, because I could see all the other birds had this great admiration for the center bird. And so, this is basically a long way of answering your question and saying the way I came into tea was through this learned respect of nature, through nature, birds in particular. And so I decided that I would go out and make tea myself.
So you actually learned wisdom from nature
from birds,
a very direct way.
Yes.
Well, that's lovely, actually. It's a new dimension on this saying that Om Dua mentioned earlier, which is quite lovely. An Arabic saying that I remember my father repeating often was the idea of the three impossibles. Dua, are you familiar with this one?
Yeah, definitely. You remind me of that. My mom used
to
always remind me when I have friends and I go out with them and so on. And she said, the impossible, remember the impossible.
So the three impossibles were the... And let me also say that this expression is so widespread that it led to a new expression in Arabic, which is the fourth impossible. For something that is impossible, something that is unlikely to ever occur, they say, this is the fourth impossible, referring to this original saying. The saying is that the three impossibles are al-ghul, al-anqa, wal-khil al-wafi. The ghul is the ghoul, and this is actually the origin of the word ghoul in English, which is, an animated dead, a zombie. The second is al-anqa, which is the dragon. And the third is al-khil al-wafi, the trustworthy friend, which is a disappointingly cynical view, but perhaps one that comes out of some negative experience.
But the whole idea is when our parents emphasize on this issue and they said, remember the three impossible, they want us to always be careful how to choose our friends. So, they put a lot of emphasis on us, so we can choose our friend in a very, very careful way. So always they ask us to test your friends, travel with your friends, and so on. So you need to choose your friends in a very careful way. And this is a very good advice. And it's a wisdom that we learn generation after generation.
So let me invite our listeners to call us. Please, if you're sitting out there at home and you feel as though you need to add to this discussion, call us. The number is 617-253-8810.
Right, so yes, PCP, thank you. So we have two lines open. So anyone who would wish to call and to contribute their wisdom or to comment on our search for wisdom, please do so, and we would be happy to add you to our spiritual search. So this saying was specifically to encourage the child, the young Arab, to search carefully and to always remember that a friend may betray you, which is true. It's something that one should keep in mind.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to see if your friend is going to stand with you when you need them, not when you are in a good position and in party, they will come to you. But when you need them, they are far away. They leave you alone. So you have to be really careful.
And, well, to extend this idea, which is one that is not mentioned in the saying, but beyond the friend, the lover or the loved one, the betrayal, of course, perhaps seems less likely, but the betrayal would be deeper and more cutting from a closer source, from one more trusted.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I heard recently about someone, you know, it's a difficult problem nowadays with, you know, in ancient times when the villagers lived in a cloister, you know, small community, there was, you know, for every person, there were a few only people that they could choose from for their mate, and it was a relatively simple process, you know, compared to now where we have these great cities with, you know, many, many animals and people living together. It's a far more difficult task to find someone that you like, because on the one hand, you know, there are more people, but on the other hand, you know, you become more selective, and there's not enough time to really know these people. So we're getting our first call of the evening. Let's see if we can get our operator to connect us. Hello, you're on the air.
They built a great fire in our heart against them.
Hmm.
Generation after generation, we all hate you.
And it appears that our caller has faded away. So, it is, again, returning to this problem of finding a soulmate. It is such a difficult problem that one of my colleagues came up with a soulmate kit. Her argument was that by visualizations, by affirmations, vision maps, feng shui, and prayers, that one could manifest their soulmate. But I wonder also if this sort of thing was, you know, imagined as possibly having a negative impact when ultimately they are betrayed. So, you know, coming back to this betrayal issue, I mean, we also hear about this issue a lot, that, you know, these two people are very close together, and then suddenly somehow there is a falling out, a falling apart. And
do you ever wonder maybe this sort of emphasis on watch out, the third impossible, the make sure your friends are loyal and true can in some way be a self-fulfilling prophecy where you're expecting it to happen, so it does.
This is a very interesting take on the saying. Dua, what do you think? So in other words, what BCP, I believe, is saying here is that you begin to act in a suspicious way. You act in a way that shows that you doubt the reliability of your friend, and this results in the friend betraying you.
Yeah, but I don't think you put yourself in that position from the beginning. When you start with a clean heart, and you accept your friend, and you build your friendship, but you always have your mind, on the back of your mind, thinking that if my friend betray me, I know because I have this saying before, and they said it's impossible to have the trusty friend. So it could be this is the friend that is going to be within this category. But in general, you don't feel, you relax, you enjoy your friend, you have a good friendship. But always when you choose, you need to learn how to choose the best. I mean, if it is a friend or a wife or a husband, you have to always try to learn how to use the best.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, in general, that one should be careful about, you know, always selecting the best thing that they can. And you know, always trying to find the best thing for yourself in all things. But I thought particularly intriguing was this idea that that the, you know, by meditation, by affirmation, that you could manifest a soulmate. That you could, I mean, do you believe that you could manifest in a moment of hunger, work to, you know, acquire food, or manifest in, you know, when you need a friend, manifest a friend?
Do you mean actually physically draw from nothing that which you require?
Or, I mean, you know, perhaps that is too far-fetched, but the idea that somehow you can contact the universe and issue a request that a friend is sent to you, and have the, you know, have the natural order arrange for it for you.
Yes, yes, I think this sort of thing is possible.
So I wonder how one could go about making such a request. When I meditate, usually the forces of the meditation, the turbulence of the imaginings, the eddies, will twist me along a particular path, and it's never the same path.
Much like in many of the visions you have recounted to
precisely
us.
It's always very diverse and very edifying, and I do often feel that there is a presence that is sending me these visions, that I receive this particular vision at a particular moment for a particular reason. But the idea that I could issue a request or an order to this presence is seems a little bit, you know, science fiction to me.
Is it really science fiction, though?
Well, I'm just not sure how one would go about, you know, speaking to a presence like that, you know. Perhaps maybe my reservation comes down to this idea that if you need a friend, the universe will respond, if you are deserving, by sending a friend. So and that's how I always imagine things to be.
Well, we only had three circles tonight on this nodal point. And I'm afraid that though we have issued a request to the universe to have a full hour with you today, powers beyond our control have caused us to leave a whole half an hour early tonight. I apologize to the listeners on behalf of Dr. Jalis Sukran and Umdua.
Yeah, we, unfortunately, the aggregate of our meditation was a little too intense, and our transmitter is overheating. So, unfortunately, we are forced to leave the air.
Right, when we have two callers, too.
So, we apologize to our listeners and to our callers. This is WMBR in Cambridge, and we're going off the air. So, ma'asalam until next week.
Goodbye.
Ma'asalam.
WMBR in Cambridge now leaves the air. As a community service of MIT, WMBR is owned and operated by the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, and it operates from studios and offices located in the Walker Memorial Building at MIT. And also from transmitting facilities atop the Eastgate Building, Kendall Square, Cambridge. Our call sign, WMBR, is a registered service mark of the Technology Broadcasting Corporation. We broadcast to Cambridge and the greater Boston area, both land and sea, on an assigned center frequency of 88.1 MHz, FM channel 201. As a non-profit broadcast organization, WMBR relies on listener contributions for partial support of its operation. Your tax-deductible donation, as well as your comments regarding our programming efforts, may be addressed to WMBR, 3 Ames Street, Cambridge, Massachusetts, 02142. This is Captain Oxblood for the staff and management of WMBR, wishing you a most pleasant good morning and a sweetest of dreams.